Choose. Recorded live.
On the download, this is Porch, Podomatic, and Mixcloud. I appreciate it. Even if you're listening on FangFaction.com, I appreciate it. We're worldwide. We're live. And then, of course, we're on the recording for those listening on the download. I'm here with two of our writers. I'm here with Ray Harris and Ryan Shannon. How are you guys doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Doing pretty good.
It's about time we got this rolling. Yesterday, TalkShoe was down. Today, I was having trouble calling in. You guys had a little with X-Lite, and now you guys called in through the through Skype, Ray, and your phone, Ryan. So I'm calling in through X-Lite right now, so hopefully this thing continues to work out. Anyways, on the agenda, we're going to talk about Ryan Suter, who last week was the major topic of discussion on 4th of July, heading into, or even before 4th of July. We were all waiting to see where he would end up. We also have the David Poile conference call. That will play for you guys. We'll talk about Shea Weber, his future with the Nashville Predators. We'll talk about the Minnesota Wild, who Zach Parise and Ryan are both assistant captains on their team and went to their press conference earlier Monday morning. And then we'll talk about the Preds' current lineup, and we'll dabble into a little bit of the Sergei Kostitsyn heading to arbitration talk. So, guys, I'll start out with you, Ray. What is your thoughts on Ryan Suter heading to Minnesota?
I'm a bit upset. I'm not as upset as most Preds fans seem to be. I don't fully understand, you know, why he went there. I guess what bugs him the most is he's looking for a championship-winning team, and the Minnesota Wild are definitely not that team. And I'd say that even with the additions of Suter and Parise, they're maybe still struggle to make a playoff spot next year, and that might be a bold statement, but that's a statement I'm going to make. But, I mean, he's there with Parise, his buddy from a long time, and his wife is from there, so, I mean, it hurts, but it that's hockey. That's the hockey world.
Brian?
It's a little bit tough to swallow as a Preds fan, I think, to see one of the key guys move on to another team when you think, you know, the Predators are getting close to that Stanley Cup. But, you know, Suter says he's doing this for family reasons, and, you know, Poile understandably upset, seeing as the promise was made that he would re-sign with Nashville back in November, and Poile also said that family matters were never discussed in the past meetings with him and his agent. So, it's disappointing as a Predators fan, but, you know, it's not a death knell for the Predators, as Jeff Kogan said to Josh Cooper in Tennessee. It's a challenge, so it's going to be tough, but I think the Predators are going to be able to move on as long as they can lock up Shea Weber.
Yeah, in the David Poile conference call we'll play here in just a minute, you could hear in the voice of Poile that he was very, very disappointed. He said it himself. As Preds fans, we all are. And we were surprisingly disappointed. We weren't too surprised that he left Nashville, but we're surprised on how it went down. As you'll hear in the press conference, in the conference call, you'll hear something of the sorts that Ryan Suter was kind of lying to Poile. Suter told Poile back in November in the discussions with Neil Sheehy that he was going to sign with Nashville. He didn't want to go anywhere else. Well, as you see now, he lied to Poile. Things change. We know. Guys, would you guys care to respond to that before I play the conference call?
I wouldn't say he lied. I'd say he severely misled us. But, I mean, back in, I think, December, before the free agency there, you could tell that his anticipation was to come back to Nashville if they made significant improvements to their roster, which they did. I mean, they signed Rene long-term. They brought on, I mean, Radulov for better or worse, and Kostitsyn for better or worse, and they brought on Gill and Gostad. So, I mean, that there is definitely huge, you know, misleading the fan base by saying, give me a cup team, and that's what Poile did. Or Poile did, and it just didn't work out.
What he did was really, he misled. I agree. If Suter would have told Poile, yeah, I'm looking to head out, instead of telling him, hey, I'm going to stay here, we would have probably traded him with a trade deadline and gotten something for him. Now we get nothing from him or for him. It's extremely disappointing. Ryan, what did you have to say?
Well, I agree with what you said. I think it's majorly disappointing because we hear this, that he was coming back, he was going to resign, and now we get nothing for him. And we also hear Suter and Parise had been talking about playing on the same team throughout the season. So, I mean, this wasn't an all-of-a-sudden thing. This wasn't something that just came up on July 1. So I think that's the disappointing thing about it. Poile, as you said, a little bit misled, and us as a fan base believing that Suter was going to be one of the cornerstones of our team in the future. And, you know, now he's not here anymore and left a little bit confused as a fan base.
Now we have go ahead, Ray.
As athletes, you know, sitting in fifth place come the trade deadline, and Suter said they're not re-signing with you guys in the summer. Do you guys really think you'd trade him going into that playoff run?
Well, I mean, that's a good question, but, you know, I think if that was the thought process behind Suter's decision, if he really did not think he was going to return, he could have let Poile know, and that decision could have been made. I'm not sure. He might have, he might not have, but either way, I think it would have turned out differently. And, you know, even then, as the season came to an end, Poile could have traded for Suter's rights, wouldn't have gotten as much in return, but still would have gotten something instead of just watching Suter walk out the door with nothing coming back in.
That I agree with.
Yeah, I agree with that. Ray, you kind of handcuffed me there because, you know, Poile does Poile said he's going all in. Yeah, you can't really trade a Ryan Suter, your second defenseman, when you're going all in. I understand what you're saying. I completely agree. I'd like to see both sides of the argument, and you did it for me. So we have the Poile conference call. It is a little longer, but you get all of the information, the necessary information. I edited out a good buttload of it. So here is Poile talking about Suter.
Okay, this is David Poile. Received the news this morning from Ryan Suter that we were not going to be the team of choice in this negotiation. It would be an understatement to say that the Nashville Predators are disappointed at this time. Actually, not only disappointed but very surprised. Over the last year, I've had literally, you know, 20, 30, 40 conversations with Ryan and his representative, mostly with Ryan about our desire to sign him to a long-term deal and obviously his importance to the Predators Hockey Club. And in all those conversations, Ryan has, you know, sort of had a criteria of, you know, why he would sign with Nashville, what was important to him. And we talked about a winning team, and I think we represented that to Ryan. I mean, we're the only team in the Western Conference that's gone to the second round each of the last 3 years. I mean, Nashville is a great community. It fits Ryan Suter and his family to a T. No one could ask for a better community to live and raise a family. market, not to mention, which I'm going to mention, there's no state tax. So, and Ryan played a prominent role on our team. I mean, he was assistant captain. He played more minutes than any other player in the NHL, most on a power play than anybody in the NHL. He was paired with the Norris Trophy finalist and Shea Weber. And, you know, as I've said to him and Shea many times, I think this is a real missed opportunity. This could have gone down as the best defensive pair ever in the National Hockey League history. I think they were certainly heading that way. Ryan has told me in every conversation that money was not the most important criteria. He told me today that our offer was substantial, that it was not about the money when it came to the final decision. We did not get a chance to make a counteroffer or anything like that. You could not want that. It was clearly not about the money. So, as I said to him, these are the things I went over with him. These are all the things that he and I talked about. I said, then I don't know why you're not re-signing with us. And he told me it was for family reasons. And I guess that's where the disappointment then, you know, comes in, is that, you know, I know family is important to all of us, but I know he and his wife like Nashville. It's not very far from Wisconsin or Minneapolis where her parents are from. But I can't fight that, or I can't argue with that. But the disappointing part is that's not what we had talked about all year long. I think we met Ryan's desires and criteria on every front, and so, you know, today it's very, very disappointing. As far as the future, I mean, we have to move on to Plan B. We would like to get a defenseman to replace Ryan. I mean, I can do that in many ways. It could come with a free agent. It could come with a trade. I want to get the right player and the right fit. Secondly, and more importantly, our focus turns to our captain, Shea Weber. He's the player that we want to build our team around. He's at the top of his game. He's a two-time Norris Trophy finalist. And he knows what he thinks of us, what we think of him, and we want him to be in Nashville for years to come. So,
David, this is Corey Curtis from Channel 2. Is there, you were loyal to him in this whole process. Did you feel betrayed?
Well, this is a collective bargaining right that the players have, and Ryan earned that, and he can and did go wherever he wanted to go. I mean, the disappointment for me comes in the reason for this final decision. If you told me, like in the old days, that the Seaman and Hartnell, or they left and we to Philadelphia because we couldn't afford them, this was not a case of money. If you told me that our franchise wasn't tracking well, that our ownership wasn't in good place, that we were a losing team, that we never made the playoffs, then, you know, those are things I couldn't fight off. But everything that we talked about, we were or are or did. And from that standpoint, it's very disappointing.
David, it's Scott Burnside from ESPN.com. Are you concerned that there might be a ripple effect then with Ryan making this decision? Are you concerned about a potential ripple effect when it comes to locking up Shea long-term, or do you see them as completely separate entities?
Well, again, I've talked equally as much to Shea this year as I have to Ryan about the future. I think I was speaking for Shea that he certainly had hoped that Ryan would re-sign. I know if Ryan re-signed, that would have been a lot easier to have Shea make a commitment. But I have to find that out now. I have to, I've already talked to Shea's representative about a longer-term contract. The process or the timing was that everybody wanted to see what that came down on the Suter situation. But as I just said earlier, I'm going to turn my attention to that. I've told Shea on numerous occasions that he's the captain of our team. We want to build our team around him. And, you know, he's been terrific with us and in the captain's role as a player. And I hope that he will re-sign with us.
Hey, David, it's Pierre LeBrun. I know this is hitting you like a jackhammer right now, but, you know, if Shea at this point, citing the departure of Ryan, doesn't want to do a long-term deal, what position does that leave you in?
I think you got to let me play out the process. I mean, you have to realize that this has all happened like 15 minutes ago, and I haven't talked to Shea today, nor his representative today. And I mean, I think we, as usual, we have to give that a little bit of time. I mean, I got to get on to see if there's an opportunity to replace Suter with you know, another defenseman again, whether it's free agency or trade or what have you. I mean, you got to give me the opportunity to talk to Shea. I think you got to allow Shea, his representative, some time to see what they think is the right thing to do going forward.
David, this is Greg Pogue, 102.5 The Game. How much did Zach Parise's free agency and their desire possibly to play together impact how you went about your business and then possibly this decision?
Well, I had reached out to Zach Parise and his agents also, and you know, for his interest in Nashville, and it sort of gets to be like it's almost like a Bermuda Triangle, if you will. That Zach would have been more interested in Nashville if I had Ryan Suter signed. I had asked for Ryan to discuss that with Parise, and I was told he wanted to go home and play in Minnesota. So again, nothing against Nashville, but he was going to go home to Minnesota. And so, you know, to me, why he chose Minnesota, other than family reasons, I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
David, this is Josh from Tennessee, and when you look at the market, I mean, these guys being 13-year contracts, I mean, is that something when you start negotiating with Ryan, and even leading up to free agency, you could have ever really fathomed?
Well, this is a system we have that we're dealing with. Again, I could say that nobody contemplated this 7 years ago when we got the new CBA, but it happened. Do I think that's perfect? Absolutely not. Were we willing to offer him a 13-year contract? Did we offer him a 13-year contract? Absolutely, we did. And that's the game that you have to play to be in the game. But even at that, and at the money that we offered, because of family reasons, he's gone to Minnesota.
David, it's Willie Donick from 102.5 The Game. Just your thoughts on Shea Weber's role in this process. How active was he? Did he feel like he was helpful? And how does that maybe affect where you go from here?
Yeah, Shea was really good. He and Ryan communicated a lot. Again, the season, you know, second half of the season, I met with them a lot in terms of sharing with them our plans and what have you. They were the guys in our leadership with the Predators, and you know, Shea is totally on board, and I have to believe this is a big disappointment to Shea today.
David, this is Corey Curtis again from Channel 2. Do you have to have a long-term deal with Shea before the season begins?
I need to talk to Shea and his representatives to go over, you know, all the dynamics of what this does. I'm sure they're going to want to know what we're going to do going forward. You know, this is one of these situations that don't make any decision until you have to make a decision. I think we just, I feel really good about today. I know he feels really good about Nashville. This is not a perfect day to be talking about that. Probably either to me or to Shea right now.
All right. So, guys, what is your first thoughts on that conference call?
Well, I think, as you said, you can hear the disappointment in Poyle's voice. Knowing what a huge loss that is for the team and the franchise. But, excuse me, I think you can also hear that Poyle wants to build this team around Weber, and that's still very much a possibility. I personally believe that Weber will re-sign with the Nashville Predators. I know a lot of people think because Suter's gone, he won't. But I still have to believe that Weber likes what he sees here in Nashville, because by all indications, Suter had no reason to leave because of this franchise. He just wanted to play with Zach Parise, or as he stated, family reasons. But overall, just disappointment from David Poyle.
Great.
It also sounds like he's got a bit of desperation as well when he talks about who would line up with Weber, and I think we're going to get into this later, but you're looking down the Preds roster, and Suter and Weber just were so phenomenal together, and they complement each other so well that finding a match that will be similar is going to be quite difficult in both free agency and through your own team. So it's going to be very interesting to see the upcoming weeks in the training camp who decides that the best person that spot is.
One last thing before we touch on the Weber situation. Ryan Suter is family reasons. For him not to bring up family reasons, we're not too sure he didn't bring it up. But for Poile not to know that it was about family reasons, how much do you guys think it was about family reasons, or rather than more like playing with Zach Parise?
Well, go ahead.
I think that not only did he not bring it up, but he also mentioned that, you know, he was quite happy in Nashville and that his wife was quite happy in Nashville as well. So it feels like he almost went out of his way to not even discuss family reasons. And now that all of a sudden his wife is from Minnesota, that it's convenient to, you know, call it family reasons. I think it's more of just wanting to play with Parise. And it's hard to really, I think it was Parise who was really leading the charge on this. It's hard to see reasons why Suter would want to go to Minnesota other than that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really more just wanting to play with Zach Parise. And as Poile said, he described it as kind of a Bermuda Triangle, because Parise said Nashville would be a more attractive team if Suter had signed. But then again, Suter wants to play with Parise, and it's kind of a vicious circle. And as you said, Parise is kind of leading the charge in this whole deal, where he was just dead set on going home, and Suter wanted to play with Parise, and I think that was really the thing that made the decision for Suter.
Now, Shea Weber, he's kind of left out to dry. He's the top defenseman. Well, he was and now is the only top defenseman on the team. You've got to sign him long-term. Poile has got to sign him long-term before training camp. Otherwise, I think you've got to pack his bags and trade him. You've got to lock him up long-term and not risk another situation like the Suter.
I completely agree with that. I love Weber, and he's phenomenal, and our team would be much worse without him. But if he's not committing to us, we got to get something back for him, because we can get something, a very nice package for Weber, I think. And to lose him just to nothing, as we just do it, that's just devastating. To be honest, Nashville's not in the worst spot without Weber. I mean, it hurts a lot, but it's not the biggest thing, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. You have to either sign him long-term, and then you have to trade him if he's not willing to sign him long-term. I think if you do trade him, if I'm David Poile, I'm wanting to get kind of more of a prospect deal, some of the top prospects, because when you look at Nationals roster, it's a lot of young players, a lot of young good players, where I personally would not want to just get a couple of players that are good now. I would want to build for the future, because without Weber and Suter there, I don't think it's a cup team, even if you get some good return for Weber in the now. So I think, I mean, I agree with both of you. I think that's the general consensus. With this Suter thing just passed, I know David Poile won't make that same mistake. He's either going to sign him long-term or he's going to get some value from him.
Poile seems to always make this mistake where he gives up those key star players for nothing. It's becoming a trend. If Weber was to not be signed and he goes into July 1st, open to sign to any team, do you guys think it's time to pack the bags of David Poile and fire him, or is that just a little radical?
Well, I think if that situation does play out, I think you would have to do that, but I don't think that's going to be the case. Like I said earlier, I still believe that Shea Weber will re-sign, but I think even David Poile, who's a veteran in the business, he's still learning from his mistakes, and I don't think that'll happen again.
I don't think that would be an offense to let Poile go for, but I think it's time to put him on a bit of a tighter leash and start to monitor what he does. I mean, he's done a lot of good things. When you look at the trade deadline, I mean, he was the man in it, and I think we were all bending over backwards to thank him. So So, I mean, yeah, it's kind of a pattern of inconsistency, but I wouldn't put him at the door at that point.
For the Nashville Predators or any team to offer Shea Weber a one-year deal, that would be so deadly. With the new CBA coming out, you couldn't offer the 13 years anymore. That would be the most deadliest contract, and that is why Poile has got to sign him in these next few months. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely. A lot of things up in the air with the possibility of a new CBA that could terminate these long-term contracts, such as the ones that Suter and Parise got. So, as you said, you want to get this done as soon as possible. Get him locked up long-term while you can.
And it's for more reasons than just the CBA. I mean, just for team stability right now, fans are still reeling about Suter and to a lesser extent Tutu, and just looking at the future. I mean, we need to get Weber in. We need to start thinking about, you know, roster, what we're going to look like. I mean, without Weber, it's a huge question mark for our roster. Or not huge, but a bit bigger. So I think you got to sign him quick.
Yeah, the Minnesota Wild, they have Parise and Suter. They introduced them to the team wearing their new jerseys as the assistant captains earlier this morning, which is Monday for those who are listening on the download. What do you guys think of the Minnesota Wild? Do you see them being cup contenders at all?
I don't see them as being cup contenders in the next few years. I think could they make the playoffs this year? I think definitely they could, but we're looking at a team who was just not good at all last year, finishing 12th in the Western Conference, finishing 4th in their division, and a division in which only one team made the playoffs. So it's not like they're going to a team that's established and a team that's been making the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs since 2008. So I think you're going to have to give it a few years before you could really call them cup contenders at all. I would be surprised if they made it to the second round in the playoffs. But in 5-6 years, I think we're definitely talking cup contenders with the Minnesota Wild because they have some of the best prospects in the league.
I personally don't think that they're a very good team at this point. I mean, even with those additions, I mean, Ryan and I were joking about it a bit earlier, but Suter's partner, right? I don't know who that is. I don't know who most of the defensemen on that roster are. I mean, Gilbert, I'm trying to bring the roster up now. Like Gilbert, he's okay, maybe. Up front, they're starting to look a bit intimidating. Koivu's a very good player. He's a very underrated player. I mean, him alongside Parise, I think they're saying Hossa. I mean, that'll be a good first line. They got Setoguchi on the second line. They still really have a great goaltender. It's a lot of work, Minnesota, and we'll see how this plays out in the long run. Hopefully they're not stuck with two long contracts if they don't want anymore a couple of years down the road.
Yeah, the Minnesota Wild, they have solid goaltending, not great by any stretch of the word, but solid. You knowing Nicholas Backstrom and Josh Harding were off and on, but they were always, when one was off, the other one was on. But at the second half of the season, they just collapsed. If the Wild could play first half of the season hockey next season, you could see one of the most scary teams in the NHL. Their defense, it's solid now with Ryan Suter. This team is an average team, not a great team. They have the scoring. I just don't think they have the depth. But in the next coming years, you have the players like Charlie Coyle, American. He was in the World Juniors a couple of years ago. He was a solid player. You have Mikhail Granlund, who is a upcoming star, phenom. He's going to be coming up. I mean, those two players just adds incredible skill onto that roster. They could make the team this season if everything goes right.
Yeah, going back to that front line, you know, it looks like you have a pretty good first line there with Parise leading that charge. But you're looking at a team who finished last in goals in the 2011-2012 season, and one player is not going to turn that around. I love Zach Parise. I think he's a great player, but to say that they're a top contender this year, I think is a little bit ridiculous. I would be really surprised if they made it to the conference semifinals.
So I guess we'll move on to the Predators. We'll go back to our team that we cover. Nashville Predators right now, the offensive depth is still there. The defensive depth is there, but the depth isn't so good. Now, I wrote down a roster right now, and I was playing with it on capgeek.com. That is a great site. I was messing around doing the salary cap and all that stuff. You have Sergei Kostitsyn, ERAT, centered by Mike Fisher, Leguan, Hornquist, and Craig Smith on a line. You have Paul Gossad, Gabriel Bork, and Colin Wilson. And then your fourth line is Spaling, Halaschuk, and Yip. Now, those aren't bad lines. They're just not scoring lines. Then, of course, on defense, you have Shea Weber, Roman Josi, Gill and Klein, and Ekholm and Blum. And, of course, Rene is your starter, and Mason is there. What do you guys think about the depth of the Predators lineup right now? What do you guys think the Poyle should do, and what areas are needed?
Well, looking at the current lineup, definitely depth is a problem, and you're going to hope that the Predators can make a move, get a free agent, make a trade to bolster this lineup, because right now you're looking at it and you're thinking maybe a playoff team, but, you know, a cup contender far from it. The Predators have always kind of been able to do a lot with a little, so I think you can still be confident that the Predators would make the playoffs just because of their history and their ability to just get it done near the end of the season. But, you know, the Cup, that's way out of reach right now. Looking at a top line of ERAT, Fisher, and Kostitsyn, you know, that's a good top line, but on most teams, that's not going to cut it. And I think we're going to have to see some players have career years for the Predators to be successful. I think you're going to have to see Fisher step up. I think you're going to have to see Patrick Hornquist return to a couple seasons ago where he was top scorer for the Predators and was really causing some trouble for opposing teams on the power play. But defense-wise, losing Hillen and as well as Cube with four suitors gone, that hurts. You're going to have to either pick up another defenseman, as we talked about, or get Blum or Ekholm ready to, you know, be a full-time NHLer. So definitely a problem for the Nashville Predators going into next season.
I completely agree. It's they can make the playoffs with this roster. They can't do much damage in the playoffs, and that's just the way it will go. And there's not much of a free agency out there, so it's a trade, or it's going to be something special from Poyle to get us on a track that we'll be happy with. The good news is, you know, we'll have a lot of young players outside the full season minutes. Like Smith, for example, if he can, you know, come back to October form and hold that for a couple extra months, I mean, that'd be fantastic. And Spaulding's always been a good player, so Bork will be out in the lineup a bit more. And it'll be nice to get those guys in the rotation a bit more than they once were, but it needs work.
Now, there are plenty of depth forwards out in free agency, but there are hardly any skilled first line or second liners in free agency that are available to sign. You have Alex Simon and Andre Kostitsyn, who are those two players. Both are cancers to their team. Depth players are still there. If he went skill top line players on both sides, on the defense and offensive side, he's going to have to make a trade. I see Ryan Ellis being a great trade bait. Tremendous potential and has tons of room to improve.
Yeah, I think the Ryan Ellis trade thing is kind of past. Maybe not if you're going after a big name, but I think right now, I think Poyle's going to look at keeping Ryan Ellis, as well as Trotz wanting to keep him there, and he's going to be great on the power play for the Predators. I have him and Shea Weber being the first D-line on the power play. But other than that, like you said, not a lot of names out there in free agency. As you mentioned, Simon, I don't see Poyle going after him. Andre Kostitsyn, Poyle indicated that he would not be returning to the Predators. So I'd be surprised if that happened. But but staying with the Andre Stevenson thing, I loved what he did with the Predators near the end of the season. I thought he was huge for the team, and I think he was one of the key players that we lost, which is a huge loss for the Predators. But as you said, you know, free agency is running down. A lot of the names that the Predators, you know, were speculated as being interested in are gone. So you're kind of wondering what Poile is going to do to make this team competitive in the playoffs for this next upcoming season.
I would say that, you know, just add that because of, you know, all of these discussions that we're having is why I am not as enthusiastic as a lot of people to keep it together. And that's just simply because we could get, you know, a good crop of prospects for him. And maybe it's time that Nashville has a bit of a rebuild here. Some people are going to hate me for saying that, but maybe that's what the boys need right now. And, I mean, it would be a terrible couple of seasons. But every team goes through it. And I want Weber. If he doesn't sign, that's the angle I'm going to take. And I think it's not might not be the worst thing for the Predators.
I agree. I think a rebuild would be too bad of a deal for Nashville with the lineup not being exactly cup-ready. But it's tough for a fan base to accept a rebuild. But when you look at the Predators over the past few years, you know, they've never really been close to the Stanley Cup, but they've never been bad enough to start, you know, compiling some top draft picks. So they're kind of stuck in mediocrity, really. And that's a tough place to be when you look at a team like Pittsburgh, who had some top draft picks, and now look where they are. They're one of the top teams in the league consistently. So, you know, a rebuild wouldn't be the worst thing for the Predators, as you said.
We have a caller, but before I get to him, I'd like to get your thoughts on an Andre Kostitsyn. Poile has said he's not coming back, but are we too sure that he won't be coming back? I tweeted this out last night. There is not enough skill out there to sign a scorer. There's not enough of those players. You have Simmons and Kostitsyn, as I said. Andre Kostitsyn is one of those players, and Predators could sign him 1 year, $1.5 million. Big deal if he doesn't pan out. We can cut him, release him, whatever it takes to get rid of him if it doesn't work out. Do you guys see the Predators possibly going after Andre?
Go ahead.
There's only just two players in the dressing room that'd be upset about that decision. I think that, you know, he messed up last year, and I don't think the Predators are ready to forgive that. I mean, you saw how upset Tutu was with his recent signing. I think that was almost, you know, entirely based on his playoff time, which went to Kostitsyn and Radulov, that, you know, didn't really put in 100%. So I think that we could go after him, but would that really be the best thing for our locker room? And that would that really be the best thing for our on-ice performance?
Yeah, I think, as you said, it would be difficult for Poile to make that move because of the effect it would have on the locker room. But I still have to believe that he would positively affect the on-ice performance of the Predators, which is the end-all, be-all. And do I think Poile's going to do it? Absolutely not. Poile is pretty set in his ways. He's really stubborn, as we all know, being Predators fans. But as I said earlier, I really loved what Andre Stephen did on the ice last year. It was an unfortunate event, of course. Everyone will remember the missed curfew there with Radulov. But I would love to see him back. We're in the gold.
So we have two callers in queue looking to win the Scott Walker bobblehead. Ryan, since I didn't get your answers, you say if it's correct. Ray, I have your answers. And then I'm going to play the audio or some little clip that, like this. And then if you get it wrong, then here is the clip. And if you lose the contest, then this is your clip. So, our first caller, we're going to do it by order. He called in first. a good friend. He's a great, he has a show on there called Sports Hot Dish. Welcome to the show, Guru. Are you ready for some trivia?
Oh, fire away, Fang. I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and ask the first question. Ryan, you ask the second, and Ray, you ask the third. And of course, you guys have your own questions ready and prepared. So let me go ahead and start it off. Who is Scott Walker the head coach of in the Ontario Hockey League in the CHL? Who is Scott Walker the head coach for in the Ontario Hockey League?
Jeez, I wasn't even sure that he was out. How about the Guelph Storm?
That is correct. You have 1 point. So you just have to answer the next one, the next two, right? Get one of the next two correct, and then you win the bobblehead. Okay, Ryan, go ahead and ask your question.
With what team did Scott Walker end his career in the NHL?
Washington Capitals.
That is correct.
So he has won the bobblehead. Guru, you have won the bobblehead. I have a sea of bobbleheads. Daniel Sock, who's also in the queue. So I have two more. I can get one. I give one more away. Now, Guru, I will we'll tweet about how you're going to get it, and I appreciate you calling in.
Oh, not a problem, Fang. Sorry I missed the first part of your show. Didn't know it was on, or I would have loved to have caught the whole one and see what you guys were talking about the first part.
All right. Continue to tune in, and you're listening to Fang Faction Radio. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Fang.
So there went our first winner. Maybe we have one more. We have Daniel Sock. He's in the queue. Ray, I'm going to let you go ahead and ask your question, and then we'll get into my question, then Ryan. So, Daniel Sock, are you ready to play the game?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Oh, hey, Daniel. My question, in Nashville's first NHL season, Cliff Ronning led the team with 53 points. What position did Scott Walker finish overall in the points race for the Predators?
Oh, I don't even know these questions. I have no idea.
Take a guess. It's less than 10.
That doesn't mean you're wrong. Go ahead and take a guess.
No, I don't even know any of the answers, so I don't know. I just called in just to listen, actually.
Oh, okay. So, do you still want to take a whack at the bobblehead?
Not really.
Okay. So then I guess we'll just put you on mute. I appreciate you tuning in.
Okay.
The ball does not want a bobblehead.
Come on, who doesn't want a bobblehead? Come on.
Got it. I have no clue.
Don't worry about it.
It's okay. We already had our first winner, and that was pretty quick. I thought those answers were pretty hard, or the questions were hard. I don't know. Might have just been me. So we'll move on to Sergei Kostitsyn. We are basically almost through the show. And Sergei Kostitsyn, he heads to arbitration. And what do you guys think of him heading to arbitration?
Well, I hope that they can resolve this before it goes into arbitration and get a deal done, because we saw last year with Shea Weber going to arbitration. It's not a good situation for anyone. I think it will get done personally because of the lack of depth, really, for the National Predators forward position. So I think Poyle's going to get a deal done, as Mason Raymond of the Canucks, they just got a deal done before they went to arbitration. So most of the time, these things get settled out, and I think that's going to be the case this time.
I agree. It's not like we don't have the money to, you know, bring him in. There's a lot of cap space there, and there's a lot of extra room, I think, to sign a couple players. So there's no reason to go through this with the Kostitsyn, and I'm hoping with, I think, most of the national fan base that we can rule this before it hits the court.
Yeah, I agree. There's no reason to go to arbitration. You have plenty of money. You have $14 million until you hit the cap floor, $30 million until you hit until you have cap space, $30 million of cap space. So with that being said, talking about cap, Poile has said that he's going to hit the cap space, the cap ceiling. It's not going to happen this year. He, without the signing of Suter, his plan has just destroyed just by one word, yes, to the Minnesota Wild. The dream of becoming a cap ceiling team is slowly, slowly dwindling away. Thoughts?
I think it's nice to have the intent there finally. I mean, whether or not we can do it, I think this year, you know, he probably wanted to do it, and I don't think there's any amount of money he could have thrown at Suter to stop him from leaving, and hopefully he does throw a big chunk of cash at Weber's way, so at least there'll be that. But, I mean, this year, you're not going to be signing anyone unless you pick up Sennin, which, personally, I hope he kind of doesn't do, but, I mean, there isn't a good way to spend money picking up Sennin on a contract and signing Weber, but maybe in the future, maybe towards the trade deadline, we'll start to see some more movements to hit that cap ceiling.
Yeah, I think, as you said, with Suter deciding not to sign with the National Predators, that really kind of destroyed that plan. And from the sound of Poile's conference call and anything he said afterwards, it really sounded like he was just absolutely sure that Ryan Suter was going to re-sign with the Predators. So I think that really kind of set that plan off course.
Any final thoughts of the show before we let you go and what you want to see in the next coming few days?
Well, you know, you always want to see if the Predators can pick up another depth forward, another defenseman to go on the top line with Weber. Also hoping to get the Weber deal done pretty soon. So there's a lot of things up in the air still with this offseason for the Predators.
Ray.
Just looking forward to that big Shea Weber signing. Hopefully that comes to me rather than later and more signings. I mean, a lot of people left kind of unsure about right now, so it'd be nice to tie up some loose ends. Other than that, just waiting for the preseason.
Before I let you go, you brought up Shea Weber again. I'd like to just ask one more question. How many years and how much money do you guys think Poile, or how much money per year do you think Poile should throw at Weber?
Well, I think with the current CBA and how things are looking right now, I think you're looking at 13 years and maybe $110 million. So, you know, that number, you know, give or take, either way, it's going to be a monumental deal if it works out for David Poile and the National Predators.
I'm terrible with salary figures, so I'm not going to throw out some bogus number that I have no idea what it represents, but I'm thinking you're looking at double digits in terms of years. You have to keep him. He's our franchise player. That's what it is, and he's got to be there for hopefully as long as he's playing quality hockey and any kind of hockey. You know, I fully expect him to be one of the first numbers that Nashville can ever retire, and for that, hopefully he's here for the duration of the career.
I say a $9.5 million year per year average is totally fair. I don't think it's a stretch at all either. I think it's a pretty fair offer and locks up a Weber and shows Nash, not only Nashville, the NHL, and Weber that Poile is willing to throw the money out there. So, before I let you guys go, tell the listeners where they can follow you on Twitter, and Ryan, go ahead and start it off.
You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan T. Shannon. RyanTshannon. Pretty simple.
And I'll be on Twitter at Canada's Preds fan. That's all it is.
So, I appreciate everyone tuning in. Finally, we got this show rolling. I appreciate you guys for coming in. Those listening, call me Mixed Live. And on Spotify, I appreciate it. Have a good night, everyone.
Go into town, step off the bus. Shake off the where you came from dust. Grab your guitar, walk down the street. Time says Nashville, Tennessee. But I have found it's a crazy town full of neon dreams. Everybody plays, everybody sings. Hollywood with a touch of twang. To be a star, you gotta bang, bang, bang. Bend no strings till the Hank comes out. Make all the drunk girls scream and shout. We love it. We're all just trying to make it in this crazy town.